this bitch.
Cool.
Hello, good morning to Local Roots Podcast. It is just Larry and I today.
Yeah, so I like these ones.
You're expecting a guest, you can turn it off now.
It's almost like an emergency pod. Like, there's so many things moving that we had to be like,
we're gonna talk about this.
Like, I don't even know where to start. I don't know. Like, we did a sassy podcast. I don't think that has anything to do with it, because anyone who listened that far into that podcast probably already likes us, right?
I hope so. Unless they were just, I don't know, like, trigger after trigger after trigger, and they're like, I need to hear it all.
Maybe. And if that's the case, then that's totally fine. Then,
but I kind of think, like, with the things that we said, like, we've already, like, I feel like that none of that should be a surprise to anybody.
No, it was just
those guys don't like that. What?
Of course not.
I don't think it's like a issue at all. I don't think it has anything to do with what happened. Anyway,
so, if you didn't read the description, our website was maliciously attacked by cyber terrorists.
Exactly. Like, this is insane. Like, you hear people getting hacked or whatever, you never think it would happen to you, you know? I feel just like a victim.
Also, like, what does our website travel? Like, a week? Like, very small.
No, we get like 80 hits a week at tops.
It's, you know, could you find a better target? That's why, to me, it feels like somebody did it, like, on purpose, because I don't know.
Like, so what happened was that they wanted to mess with us.
Yeah. So what happens? Well, I feel like they would do something like clever, like change our name to like the Local Penises or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Not.
Yeah. Explain what happened.
Okay. So roughly the short of it is, I went to go to our site after recording last week's pod. And I type in localroots.us. It's up now. You can go visit it and everything's fine. And it's a big red screen and it says danger. Like, what the fuck? Because I mean, I used to work for a website design marketing agency. Like, I've seen it all, but I've never seen a big red screen of death that says danger.
Danger.
So, yeah. And it's like Google.
It was a danger, like, from Google. It wasn't like our website just said danger. It was like a danger pop-up. So it was like a real danger.
Yeah. And it said, like, this site is for phishing schemes or something like that. And you can, if you like click a couple buttons, you can go to this dangerous website anyway. So I clicked that. And when you get to it, it's just one line of text at the top of the screen saying something like, I sell good you now for free or something like that. And it was the most wild thing.
So who got us? Who attacked us?
I think you bring up a good point. If it was someone like trying to like someone who knows who we are and was trying to just like get us, they would have done something funnier, I hope, or like not just like ruined our site, not just ruin our site, but like
they would have done something funny. Yeah. Like, I don't like change our bios, like to say like something just hilariously inaccurate or, you know, yeah, things like that, or just completely destroy the website in general. But instead of just, so I don't know, maybe we're just a victim of a serial hacker,
or maybe that's too hard to do, that part. Like, maybe it's hard to, because they all right, so they didn't get into like the content of our website, that's like hosted somewhere else, so they couldn't get into it. They got into like my host, like the, I don't know if you know, like the CNAME record and all that stuff. They got into there and redirected their content to our domain. So our website wasn't showing up under that domain, their content was. So it actually could have been different before Google got to it, and maybe it did have something like that. We just didn't see that in time.
They slid there domain into our domain?
So basically you have your domain, right? So that's like on something like GoDaddy or HostGator or something like that. You buy a domain, like we bought localroots.us. Sure. And then from there you have your CNAME and A record, and that is like your DNS settings, it's called. And that tells the domain what to display. So then I use a third party to design the website, and I link it to those records. So when you type in that domain, it knows to show the content from this website.
Mm.
But they got in and put their information into those C records and all that, and added more records, some that I've never even seen before. So who knows what else they were doing. And their website was showing up when you type in localroots.us.
Well, what a bunch of freaking cock smokes. That's not cool.
I think it's only not cool because it was like very anticlimactic. Like I was able to just like reset my password and relink it, and then it's fine. Like I almost wish it was like someone like starting some real beef or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I really think it's probably Diane.
See, okay, so set that up real quick.
So more beef that we jokingly started. We're not starting beef with anybody. Maybe just like starting a little lunch meet with people. I don't know. So Leary posted a photo of his YouTube page. It was like a screenshot of it, of this lady's comment that was super mean, super rude. And we just kind of cleverly commented back to her. And that was the end of it, right?
Yeah, I just always, every time I get a mean YouTube content, I always lead it with like, I love you so much, or I don't know, just something that they can never combat. And it works every time. So if you, I mean, you need to treat it that way, because if you say, no, you don't know what you're talking about, because then you're just opening yourself up to, you're showing your vulnerability. But when you just say something like, wow, that is such a handsome comment, you are gorgeous, or something like that, they're like, aw, and then they can't fight back anymore, and they never do. So we did something like that. And then what I do, because I don't want to like publicly dunk on them, because then it starts a battle, right? So then I just took the screenshot of the YouTube comment and posted it on Instagram, because that's where all our friends live. You know, like there's people who already like what we do there. So everyone had our back, and that was really cool. Except for, I don't know, let's not say names or anything, but
Puddle of Mud is bad. If you listen to Puddle of Mud, you have broken ears.
I don't know. Apparently
all music is good, except that is trash. That is it. Well, I do like She Hates Me, so maybe I'm a little closet Puddle of Mud fan. But I would never publicly defend them.
You just
fucking hate me. Nah, nah, nah. Like it's whatever. But that's what all their songs. Okay. Moving on. Let's move on.
I know.
Attacked us,
come claim your prize.
Yeah, go eat dirt or.
Oh no, no, we're actually friends. You win what, $20 maybe?
Yeah, and then we're gonna call you a chode, but it's that's fine. Yeah,
DM us, you win a prize. We definitely won't be mad. Yeah, we're actually excited that you hacked us and want you to do it some more, please. Yes, please recall.
Get us harder next time.
Yeah,
penetrate us deeper.
Speaking of that, Brian, I wanted to talk to you.
Uh-oh.
Should we, like, we have the store and stuff there still. We need to think of some new designs for 2021.
Okay.
Get it launched, and then if no one wants it, then I'm gonna stop having that as part of the website.
Okay. So we make a last ditch effort for merch. People buy it, we'll continue it. People don't buy it, then
I think part of the reason we don't sell it is I don't know how to link it to Instagram. And then also it's buried on our website. But like if we actually like made some cool stuff or adjusted the current ones, like maybe we can, you know, maybe people would like it again. So I don't want to get rid of it, because when we first launched it, it had like a good pop and people liked it. But then I just never touched it again. So
yeah, that's true.
We'll give it.
I really enjoyed the trail work ones that you did.
Yeah, we got to get those. Maybe we can include WNBA and whatever, and like donate. I feel like that's the best way to do it, is like donate a portion of them to the trail systems, and then we can like co-promote it.
I think that would be cool.
With the profits or something like that. I feel like that would be cool. I mean, we already, like, for full record, I make these as cheap as possible. I think we make like $2 every shirt. So like,
yeah, we're not making money.
It's just to like, yeah, it's cool to have people like our shirts. That's like the only reason we do it.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We could contact WMNBA and kind of see if they're on board. Brian Doctor, are you listening? We'll be emailing you.
Yeah, that's a great point. I forgot we already have contacts there. and then we probably won't even keep profit now that I think of it. Because what's the point of donating $1?
We'll split the profits. It's going to be huge.
For 100% transparency, like, it is like maybe $13 to $15 to make the shirt. Because we don't buy them ahead of time. We do what's called drop shipping. So like, we have a print facility who like sends them out whenever we get an order, essentially. And they charge, like I said, like $13 a shirt, and we sell them for like 15 to whatever. So maybe we make like $5 or something. I don't know, whatever. We'll make them cheap and maybe for a good cause instead of us. Cause you should
buy them, guys.
All right. I think that's enough talking about our website. And
it is.
I don't know. There's a different kind of mood in the air. We don't do afternoon podcasts this much. It's morning. No, technically. It's not even
drinking a beer.
No
drink beer. Bloody Mary.
I think I have a bit of a cold. Can you hear like my voice?
You sound like you have small acorns in your nostrils.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because we slept with the window open last night too.
It was chilly.
It was cold, but I love. Do you like sleeping like that?
Yes, I love it. Alexa,
dude. Yeah, same. Amber got too cold and closed it. But I like to just be covered in 100 blankets and like sleep in like negative 10 degrees. That'd be my
that is my go-to.
I love it.
Alexa and I went with Miles and Kate. Miles is Alexa's younger brother. Kate's his new girlfriend, his new lady friend. Her brother got us some Whitecaps tickets. We went to the game last night.
Nice.
And it was, I don't know, probably 20 mile an hour winds and like rain and 45 degrees. So it was very cold, and now I understand why I think I might have a cold.
Oh man. I was gonna say you should have told me, and I put the, every time we go to a game now, we gotta put the billboard up.
Gotta put the billboard up. By the end of the game, there was like no people there.
I bet. I mean,
it was a bummer. And I think the Whitecaps won. We ended up peacing out. We even left early, but
oh, good. Because that last one we went to was a blast, but also
you got their asses.
They got smooshed.
Just booted. Yeah. So that was cool. They won, I think, unless somebody had a rally at the end of the game. But that was fun.
Nice. Wait, who all did you say you went?
It was me and Alexa, and then Miles and Kate.
He doesn't even live around here, does he?
He is moving right now from Mount Pleasant to, he's moving in with Kate this weekend.
Holy heck. Well, that's cool. Nice. More family than we are.
Big, big move for him. He's also signed up for the Iceman.
Okay.
I kill it. He had a rough, I think we talked about him on the pad, and his rough Iceman. Poor kid. First bike, we're like, dude, you should do bike racing. Bike racing's fun. And the first big bike race he did was the 2019 Iceman. And he was on his bike for over 5 fucking hours in the rain and the mud. Because when you're that far back, like that bottleneck was probably at least an hour and a half. And it's like, poor kid. First time on clips too. He said he fell over a couple times, puked about 8 times, but he finished.
It's just, I mean, everyone remembers their first Iceman. It's like, not, you can't prepare for it.
No, there's no preparing for Iceman.
No, but it's
sometimes easy. Sometimes it's just absolutely terrible.
That reminds me, because I'm using my brother's Iceman ticket and I don't know how to transfer it. So I need someone's help.
Ooh, I think you have to pay a transfer fee.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
I think it's like $5.
Yeah.
It's nothing crazy.
I don't care. Cause I think, I mean, I'll still pay for it from him, but he said he'd even just give it to me. So,
oh, well, there you go. That's expensive raise.
he just had knee surgery, so I don't think he's going to want to be racing. So
probably not.
And it's just his from last year that just carried over. So
gotcha. Speaking of races, I touched on this last week's episode, or depending how these release, I don't know. The Beaver Dash Bash in Lapeer, Michigan.
Say that three times. Go.
Beaver Bash Dash. The Beaver Dash Bash.
He said it two different ways. Dash Bash
is a time trial race on the Oakdale Trails, which are hand manicured by Josh McCready, a.k.a. Trail Sense, who came out and did the work at Wafield and Luton.
And for the podcast.
And friend of the podcast, also soon to be family, if I don't fuck up in the next 81 days. that race is going to be awesome, and it's going to, all the proceeds will benefit the Oakdale Trail System, which goes directly to the trail, but it also goes to kind of the whole system, which goes to talk about the history of the area. There's like an old like psych ward back there, very similar to the really creepy one in Traverse City.
Oh, so it's haunted. A haunted race. That's what you want people to go do, is go be haunted?
Yes, haunted. It is September 25th. There is a 9-mile option and a 20-mile option. The 20-mile option is you just do the 9-mile option twice. So it's not a very long trail. Over the 9 miles, you get like 250 maybe feet of elevation. It's very flat, pretty easy. It's just a ton of like berm turns, and there's a lot of features you can hit. There's some fun jumps to keep it entertaining. So if you're in the area, go check that out. Soon on the pod, we will have Josh McCready and Peter McCready, who are putting the race on. We may even have a Todd McCready presence as well. They're all brothers who are putting this race on for the great city of Lapeer.
Groovy.
There's my plug. Go sign up. Beaver Dash Bash.
But where's the other 2 miles coming from?
It's easier just to say 20 than 18. It's actually 9.5 miles. So there's a 9.5 mile loop or a 19 mile loop if you want to be real into it. But if you do a little wobbly turns, you could probably get an extra mile in and get the 20.
Okay. You heard it here first, folks.
It is a really fun trail though. And it's easy, and Tilted Access is the beer sponsor, and they make some good shit. So
nice. Cool. Say the date one more time.
September 25th.
And how can people sign up?
Google Beaver Dash Bash.
Okay, there you go.
And it'll come. It takes you to, I think it's called like Pedal for a Cause is the website that it takes you to. And there's two different events. The one is like a road ride in 2022, I want to say. And then the other event is the Beaver Dash Bash. You can also run it. So you can do a double event where you can run and ride. So you can run 20, then ride 20 if you're a maniac. Or run 5, ride 9, whatever you want to do. There's like a bunch of different options in there. And the categories go by your age. So I think you start off with like an early beaver, then you're an eager beaver, then you're a wise beaver, and then you're like an old beaver.
What's your inner beaver?
I got a good chuckle. I'm an eager beaver.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yes. So enough about the Beaver Dash Bash.
The Bash Beaver Bash Dash Dash Bash Beaver.
That one.
I'm a little upset about this weather we're having today and yesterday.
I'm a little bummed. Today especially, it's very cold. I wanted to get out and do a ride.
Same. I was ready to go. Friday, Emma's in daycare. So I'm like, I can do like lunchtime rides. And I don't know. I did it last Friday. It was great. Like I was able to just go away for an hour at lunch, do a quick like Merrill 5 mile and get right back to work and stuff. Like that's what I was going to do today too. But it's just gross and cold. Like you can't, even if it wasn't raining, it's like what, 40 right now? 45
right now. Yeah.
It's cold. It's a bummer. I'm starting to ride more though. So that's kind of the main point of why I bring this up is
okay.
Now that I have 2 days without Emma, as hard as it is, because we
have breaking
single day. I'm so used to her here all the time, but I have 2 days a week now where, and once I can't do it like after work, because then like, what's the point? But like a lunch break ride I'll do, or sometimes mostly after work. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, so I'm getting to ride again, and I wanted to talk about these new bike upgrades I got.
Yes. Let's hear it.
So I got, are you drinking a Bloody Mary?
Oh yeah.
You said you, wait, are you for real?
I really am. Yes.
Friday. Okay. Friday at lunch. Okay.
We had a lot of beers at that said baseball game yesterday.
Okay. Real recovery. Got it.
Yep.
Sorry. I'm so taken aback by the Bloody Mary. Anyway, I got smaller tires, and it is crazy how just going from 3-inch tires to 2.8-inch tires, the amount of agility I got back. Like, it doesn't seem like it would matter that much, but it's insane how much more just like nimbleness. It's crazy.
What tires, Cross Honor?
Sorry, one more time.
What tires?
They're called Terravail. That's the brand name, and the Coronados. That I strictly bought because of the tan sidewalls. I didn't do any research on like if they're good or anything. They just look badass, and they do look cool. So that was my first upgrade, and I feel it. It's crazy awesome. Like, I don't know. It's the perfect bike now, because that was my only complaint with the Stash, is the 3-inch tires were great for absorbing and like, you know, taking a little cushion, but it was really hard to do like a, you know, really sharp turn or whatever.
You got so much weight, and those tires were also, so they were wide. You also had like some, there was some serious beef tread pattern. Like,
yeah, they were thickens. And these are definitely more aggressive, like more racing style that I have now. I feel way faster and just honestly better at cornering and everything. They've got some huge friggin' nubs on the side. Like, it's just all around. It's the thesis of this, the main point of why I'm bringing it up, is changing your tires, something that small, it's like having a whole new bike. And it's like another good way of like coping with not being able to buy a bike right now. So,
yeah. I would agree with that, especially when you find really good tires. So on my scale, it came with the Maxxis. Recon maybe is what they were. I want to say they were the Recon. I don't remember, but I didn't like them very much because on my old Spesh bike, I think I had ground controls, which I liked a lot. I know there's kind of basic tires, but I liked those. I did not like the Maxxis. And then from the Maxxis, I changed to a really beefy ground control up front. And then in the back, I had a Fast Tracks, but it was a S-Works Fast Tracks. And I did not like those tires either. And I was just like, oh, whatever, these tires kind of suck. Like
them, or was it because the two different treads weren't playing well, or maybe a little bit of both?
It could have been a little bit of both. I wanted that beef. I put the beef up front for the Mud Iceman.
Yeah. And a lot of people do that. You're not alone. Like, that's not like a weird thing to do, right? That's like a common setup, doing those two tires in particular.
It is. Yeah. Usually your front, you want a little bit more, a little wider. And it worked really well for Iceman. That was great, but I still didn't notice like a ton of difference in just like regular riding. And then kind of like you, I really wanted the tan sidewalls, and I heard good things about the Mezcals, the Vittoria Mezcals, and I didn't do like a vast amount of research, but it was like night and day difference. Like those things rip, and they're sweet, they're fast, they grip, they're badass. And yeah, most importantly, they look cool.
They look sick. And the squad's hopping on board. Didn't Joel just get a pair of those too?
Joel had them. Tyler's got them now. The only bummer is they don't make them, at least in the tan side. Well, the biggest you can get is a 2.25.
Yeah. How does that feel? Like, what would you have picked? Something leaf here?
No, I was just thinking for your bike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was really hard to find something 2.8.
2.8 is odd size.
It really is, especially for...
just for your bike. Well, your bike and probably the Specialized Fuse, the 29 Pluses are kind of hard to find. I think they're making a comeback, though.
Yeah, I was talking to Brady at Rockford Bike Shop when he was putting him on for me, and he was saying he has 2.8s on his bike and he doesn't even have a plus. So that made me feel a little more confident of just because I got him more of out of the it was the only option rather than like I really wanted him. Like I wanted 2.6s. I had some Maxxis 2.6s that I had picked out, but like I talked to the bike shop and people on Worldwide Cycle actually. And they both talked me out of it and said, go 2.8s. There'll be no risk where there's a little risk with 2.6s. Cause I got 50 inch rims, like, or not 50 inches, 50 centimeter rims.
Yeah. Or 50 mil.
Whatever. Yeah. Come on.
Those are wide. I think so I want wider wheels a little bit. If I were to get new, I've decided I'm not buying new wheels for my Scott,
but wait, you aren't. Cause don't you have, you were looking at some velocities.
The discount is insane. So it's like, it's very tempting. I think if something catastrophic happens to the wheels, then I will. If not, I'm just going to leave it.
And you're about to do new bike next year anyway, right? So why?
I'm really hoping so.
Okay. So sorry, we can move on, but I have one more upgrade that I really wanted to talk about.
And... the stickers?
Okay.
Because those tie the whole thing in. I think they're the coolest shit ever.
I highly recommend going to Etsy, type the name of your fork in. It's like 15 to 20 bucks, pick out any color you want and it makes it look like a new bike. So I just got new. Okay. Don't tell anyone. I also got the 2021 Yari stickers, RockShox Yari instead of the 2020, like my bike is. So it's
fresh new fork.
Yeah. It looks like I got a new fork, but, I mean, a year difference, who cares? And I'll obviously be transparent when I ever go to sell it, but I don't know if I will sell it. Actually, I love my bike. It's crazy. Just like a little bit of a facelift and I love my bike again. It felt like a brand new bike. But anyway, the actual mechanical upgrade I also got,
a beehive in the back of your bike.
I got a beehive. Yeah. So, there was that whole mix up we talked about a couple weeks ago of just like, I had a warranty wheel. It just disappeared or whatever. I mean, the shipping world is crazy. Anyways, a big shout out to Rockford Bikes. They took care of it. And then some, they actually got me a better wheel than my actual bike came with. So it's crazy. Just a little simple upgrade again. That was going from 52 teeth, points of engagement hub to a 108, which is crazy. That's something I would never buy on my own, right? Like, I mean, it's like a cool thing to have, but I would never like think I needed it, but now I can never go back. Like, it's so hard to explain it. It's just like the responsiveness is like amazing. Like when you're like climbing or like any sort of technical like spots at Merrill, even like you just have so much more control, so much more like, you know, if you like do a very slight pedal, you're going to move a very slight way. You're not using half of that pedal to like catch your engagement, yeah, and the other half of that movement to move half of a, you know, little bit. So, such a small little thing, like I said, that I felt right away. So that plus the new tires and the new stickers, your boy's got a 2021 Steed ready to fucking rip, bro. I'm so stoked on my bike again.
Well, hell yeah. And it looks like supremely badass.
Yeah. Not if I can honk my own horn one more time. That was a pretty good, I just took a random picture at Merrill and I got a ton of likes on Instagram. I'm so popular and everyone loves me.
Everyone thinks you're so cool.
And now I feel like my life matters because I got over 150 likes on Instagram.
Yeah, brother.
That's my life. What about you? Any bike? You ride so much.
I've been riding a lot. Recently, my last ride, I finally successfully navigated some hush-hush secret trails at the Canonsburg State Game area, and I was able to make a new route that I think is going to be my new go-to. It's like 17 miles. You ride, so you start from the normal parking lot, you ride up, and then you take...
Hey, Brian, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Was this mic not on the whole time? Does it sound way different all of a sudden?
It sounds way different now, yes.
Gosh darn it. Guys, I'm so sorry. This will sound like shit until now.
Well, now we're just even better. It sounded good, and now it's better.
But all right, so in my head, it's like just having a mic turns into a podcast. Otherwise, they're just watching a Zoom call or listening to a Zoom call, and it's like I feel bad almost. Like at least with the microphone, we can pretend it's a podcast. Okay, carry on.
It looks good.
I'm so sorry to cut you off, but that really bugged me. I hate that because right before we started recording too, I was like, get the mic.
Yeah, now you're on.
Anyways. Okay, Brian, I won't interrupt you this time. Please carry on.
I don't think where I was. So, state game, you leave from the parking lot, you go normal way, and then the first turnout on your right. So it's not the, because there's one on the left really quick. Don't avoid that one. I don't like that one.
That's the one we've done before, right? The one on the left, and then you go like a little, like 5 feet past the actual trail and go like parallel with it.
Nope, that's a different one.
Okay, never mind. Keep going.
But this one is, I think, before that. So it's right before you get to the first clearing. It's where there's like a down, it's almost like a little downhill section. It's where they added a bunch of trail instead of just like a straight little short downhill. There's some turns to the right. It's right in the clearing. Anyways, you hop out right on that and you take that. And it's really sweet back there. I've never really experienced that before previous to this one. And then you ride that. And then my mistake was that I kept turning right and I ended up getting like, I don't know. I was very lost. I had no idea where the hell I was. But this time I just took the first left out and it dumps you out on kind of the, I think it's the route where the tree cutters took. And I just took that all the way up to Dersum. And then when you're on Dersum, you take a left and then you can hop right back onto section two, finish out your lap. Good to go. And then
really wish I was following this. I mean, do you have a Strava of this?
I do. Yeah.
You keep explaining. I'm hopping to your Strava and then I'll share the screen because we have video on the podcast now.
Yeah. And it's actually, I think it's a fairly clean Strava ride too. Not a lot of out and backs of me getting lost and checking where I am. And then the second part is that you just ride the rest of the trail and you can do that first section, do the end of the section one that you missed the first time. You can either add in that extra bit where you do go past the trail a little bit. And then we've done that a lot. You can link into those and then you just take the normal Dersum climb where you turn right up to section two and then you can hop on section two again. I like section two is probably my favorite part. And you hop on section two, finish, do all of section two, finish section two, hop out. And instead of going left down 4 mile to get to section three, climb that hill up and go right. And then on your left eventually is like the secret climb up to the downhill bomb part, which is really sweet. And you can bomb that. And then at the bottom of the bomb, I didn't do this on my ride, but you can take a left and go to the trail up to that downhill bomb and then do that again. Or you can ride to the parking lot and then do the downhill bomb again too, which is really fun. And that downhill part is in like super good shape. I was kind of worried that it might be whopped out or you might have a bunch of face slappers right now, but it wasn't bad. But it is seriously fast and you got to kind of be on your toes. It's going to make you butt pucker quite a bit.
This is it, right?
Yep, that's it. And that little, so where your mouse was on 4 mile in the middle, that little go right. Yep, that's the downhill part.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's really, really fun.
Yeah, this looks like a blast, little life. I mean, is there any rules against this before we strongly advise our audience to go give it a try?
I know for a while on Strava, people would post the rides and Strava like wouldn't count the ride because it was like blocked out or something. I don't quite none. This was kind of before my time in mountain biking. But it's fine now. Yeah. You're like not supposed to talk about it.
But especially here we are. On a podcast with a visual to go along with it.
You don't want to post on like WMNBA because the trail, they're not sanctioned. They're not like, that's not an actual mountain bike trail where like, I think if you like were to get hurt there's some liability issues where the rest of the trail is under like WMNBA's care.
But well, if this is against the rules, we are sorry, but also
get over it.
Okay, sassy. What if someone's actually mad at us?
No, they shouldn't be. Okay. It's fun. And I mean, those trails have been there forever. Like, they're not newly cut. There are some new ones, but most of that's all like, it looks older than most of the trail.
I mean, people are sick of me saying this. That was like what I loved about Vasa, is being able to do that. So, I mean, it sounds really awesome.
Yeah, get good and lost there, because you could just explore for, you know, I think you can do 20 miles of that, of the secret trails, without getting on the actual loop.
Wow, that's awesome.
I've not figured that out, because I was just lost aimlessly in like a 3 mile area. So that's, I have no idea how to get to the rest of it. But
I mean, the good news about it is like they all, I mean, assumptively, I've never done it. You have. But I'd assume they all eventually kick out to a popular road eventually. Like, you can't go wrong. Like, you, and then once, yeah, like worst case, you just take the road back in.
Yeah. And like, I mean, state game is, it's only what, the whole circle is like 7 miles. So you're not like going to be ever like deadly lost. Vasa, I feel like you kept going, you could be like 40 miles from the car and you're like, well, fuck, I still don't know where I am.
That's true. Vasa, and
like, it adds more adventure.
It's also why I want to do, oh yeah, we talked about this last time, but we're probably not going to do Traverse City Trail Festival this year.
Oh, yeah, on a Sunday.
I was surprised to see that. Yeah. I don't know, but it's not like a race, so it still could be a good hangover ride. I don't know. Maybe it is more racy than I remember, but I remember being explained to that it was more of like a group ride, or what's it called? Not a time trial? No. What's it called? Where?
Fondue.
Touring, like a touring. Yeah.
Grand touring. Cool. No, that's, I don't know. I've been riding my bike a lot. Nothing new. I've decided on my next bike I want is a Yeti Arc.
Okay. You're distance. Steering away from the hey.
Yeah, hey. Suspension's like sweet, and I'd probably regret not getting that. But I know how not bike mechanically inclined I am, and I think just adding more parts would confuse me more. I feel like I'm just learning how the things on my bike work now, but I don't know if I want to add a whole new bit to that.
Let's take a look.
I think it's sweet.
You're getting the 35th anniversary one, right?
Yes, I'm getting the 10,000. How badass is that, though?
It's the most Brian bike I've ever seen. I think we've said that before. It is, if Brian got like zapped by a ray gun and turned into a bike, it would be this bike. Like, if you opened Brian's closet and you hid this bike in there, you wouldn't be able to find it, because half of his clothes are already these colors.
It's so true. Alexa's like, yeah, that's right.
Which, it's a sick bike. I mean, I'm trying to track down, this is my next upgrade, because I have the blue stickers. I think I'm going to get the oil dip or whatever chain on my bike.
Do it. Good. Get the cassette too.
The cassette's $400. I can't justify that. That's the stupidest upgrade I could think of getting.
Very expensive.
That or copper. I don't know which one I like better.
The copper does look cool. Blue, your oil slick would look nice on your bike. Oh no, a copper would look cool too.
They both, I know. Like, one matches my tire and one matches like my fork. So we'll see.
That would be cool.
So how do I, this is like a weird landing page.
Yeah, go down. Go to ARC, not the 30. The 35th is 10 grand.
Yeah, that's a little much. Now here we go. And this is, I mean, kind of goes back to what I was saying about getting stickers or whatever, or buying your own decals. This straight black, you can kind of make your own.
Oh yeah, it'd be sweet. I get it in turquoise, but yeah.
Of course. I feel like an idiot. Of course you're getting turquoise.
Oh, yeah. Select the kit, go up to the top. I would get the C2.
Carbon. Gotta be carbon. Yeah, that's a good middle of the price. Oh, it's titanium?
Normally it goes C1, C2, and then the T is Turk, which is like they're different. They're like extra upgrade, but for Yeti, for the ARC. So normally there is, like, how Specialized has different grades of carbon. Well, so does Trek. Everyone does. But Yeti does too. But for the ARC, it's the same frame no matter what bike you get.
Okay. That's interesting. Just better material?
It's literally the exact same frame if you go from this from the Carp to the Turk series. You just get extra shit. I think once you get in the Turk series and you get the Fox Factory, the Kashima stuff.
So this is very tempting. Only a grand more to go AXS.
It's a grand for XX1 access too.
Which that seems like very tempting.
It is, but it's still a grand. And what's on there is EX, which I think is going to still be like worlds better than what I have now.
Yeah. So why am I not seeing specs?
Go down.
It won't even let me grow down. Oh yeah. Well, I had the wrong thing selected.
There you go. It's just, I think it's more fun geometry. It's kind of what I'm looking like. It's going to be very similar geometry to your bike, Larry, and it ships with 2.6 tires. So the C2 is over. Yep. There you go.
2.6s is what I was saying. I thought I wanted, but I mean, 2.8 is probably very close. 26 pounds of light sexiness. This is the same fork you have right now?
No, I have the Rhythm.
Rhythm. Is that a step down then?
The Rhythm is a step down from the Performance, yeah.
Got it. So yeah, you get an upgrade there, a DT Swiss wheel set. Can't go wrong with that. Not
crazy, but they're definitely bulletproof.
GX Eagle. I mean, basically what you are. Oh no, you don't even have Eagle now.
I don't.
Okay, so huge upgrade there.
I have 11 speeds on my bicycle.
Honestly, I haven't been able to use Eagle since I got my bike back because it like is hitting like the jockey is hitting a spoke as I ride. It's like the dumbest thing, and I don't know how to fix it.
It's like a bent derailleur hanger.
Yeah, which I apparently are one of the hardest things to get right now.
Oh Jesus! Well, you don't need that extra gear then.
No, I've been living with 11 speeds. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if people want us to just read all the specs of Brian's bike he's probably getting. But well,
the only issue is that they're kind of hard to find. And honestly, because we like Rockford Bike Shop so much, at least I do. I don't want to, anyway, be cause shit with people, but they're my favorite bike shop. So I think what I would do if I did go this route is order this bike online somewhere through Rockford Bike Shop and like have them build it up. Rather than get it from a different shop around here.
Okay. Well, that's nice of you. I mean, that's been a big thing of the podcast is we're very in on local business and especially the ones we're friends with.
Yeah. Big news for Rockford Bike Shop is that they are carrying Niner bikes.
Oh shit. Really?
So that's going to be big. Yep. Craig and Brady are both getting some Air Nines in a match. Tyler and Joel.
Wow. That's such a cool upgrade too. Like Niner is having a comeback, right? Didn't they like go bankrupt and then now they're back like better than ever?
I think so. They also just came out with a new RKT and they're probably going to come out with a new, I don't know what their other low suspension bike is.
Yeah.
But they're sweet. Craig was all pumped. I was telling Craig about, he's like, oh, Joel got second, your buddy. And he was on a Niner. Oh, I gotta get one now. I need another hardtail. I'm like, okay, great.
Well, I mean, it. I think it complements Trek well because I feel like it's good to. I love when a bike shop has like the big name brand, but then like a cool sleeper brand too.
Yeah, which is kind of like Niner. But Niner's like hella expensive too.
Yeah, but it's like at least it's like that. It's like when we were into snowboarding, it would be like getting a, I don't know. Like Capita at the time,
yeah,
like
Capita or Gnu, or
yeah, instead of a Burton, you know, like it's cool to have that there.
Yeah, I hear that. They also have, they're getting a bunch of Vast bikes in, which are magnesium frame gravel bikes, which are pretty cool.
I saw they posted something like that a while ago, and I looked into it and I was like, I've never even heard of these guys, but
they're freaking sweet. They're like, I guess the magnesium frame is supposed to absorb a bunch of stuff and it's almost as light as carbon.
Okay. You
get the carbon fork. And then, but the group set on the bike is, I don't remember what it is, but it's really good. And it's a really good value. It's only like $2,500.
That's sick. Yeah. Magnesium is what my camera is made out of.
Fancy.
So do you have more there? I've one big piece of news to end the pod on.
No, I got nothing. Well, let's hear your news. Bring it in.
So 2 days ago on Tuesday or whatever, I'm have my days all messed up, mixed up. But anyways, last Tuesday I went
Tuesday.
What?
Like this week's Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to drop off a deposit for building a new damn house.
You put the deposit down?
Kind of. So not, well, no, so I did, but it basically just claims a lot because they're not signing new houses right now because of the spike in building costs.
Okay.
So I have a house fully priced out. We got basically the smallest floor plan that they offered, but then like upgraded everything. Like that was what we decided to do instead of getting like a big house with like, then having to cut costs on like not being able to do like granite countertops and all that. We got like one of the smaller floor plans, and then like we're adding on like a big like sunroom to like the main level. We're getting like all the nice granite and all that stuff, and it's still cheaper than if we would have gotten like a bigger floor plan. So
did you get those gutters to work out that you sent me?
That's for something else, but yeah.
Well, congrats, man. That's fucking exciting.
Yeah. So I can't get too excited here because like if for whatever reason costs go up or whatever, we won't be able to sign our contract for a while and get started. But assuming the prices stay as they are, they'll let us start signing again. So we're reserved and we have a spot held, but they won't take on new clients until they know that like the builder won't get like screwed basically. Like if we sign in and then the cost goes up and then it costs them like way more to build the house than they thought.
Okay. But then you can back out and you don't have to pay that extra price.
Exactly. So we have like an opt out right now.
Okay. Well, damn. Good luck. When would build, if all goes well, when would building commence?
So just basically who knows, but they think no matter what, it should be move-inable next spring. So, they hopefully would, honestly, we'd break ground like in a month or two.
Yo,
I know. That's right.
Cool. Holy cow. And location to your house. It's still in Rockford.
Yeah. The Rockford Highlands it's called. So a little subdivision behind my house.
Okay. Cool.
It's Rockford. And I don't know, the main reason I wanted to bring it up is just to talk about housing right now. It is insane. Like,
yeah,
so here's the thing is we don't even need a new house yet. Like we could live in this house for a while, but one more time.
You put a bunch of work into it. It's pretty awesome right now.
Yeah. And it's great. It's just, all right, here's a little sneak preview. Emma's is everywhere.
And it's like,
we need it accessible too, because like, okay, she needs to go in the bouncer. She needs to go on her jumper. Like otherwise, I don't know. So we just don't have room
to put her stuff away when she's done with it.
That's probably dad's problem that maybe I should do, but I don't know. So like having a nice playroom, like we, and if we have another kid or something, like we'd be at our wit's end here. So we know that like within a year we want to move. And then we started looking, like houses are selling for, we had an agent tell us like 70 to 100K over asking.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt.
I didn't, like, I knew it was over asking, but 70K, 100K over asking. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So buying is out of the question because we could barely afford the house that we live in now if we bought, but it's not too much more to build as of right now anyway. So we're going to start building because there's not a big rush. And then, I mean, this always sounds right white trash when I say it, but we're going to make so much money on this house.
yeah.
I don't know. It's fun. It's like so like blindsided. Like I just started looking, and if we don't jump in now, we won't be able to afford it next year. So it's crazy, but I'm excited. Like I'm watching all the Property Brothers and all those, trying to, because we get to like design the house, which is kind of cool too, like pick out what we want.
Alexa just said maybe we should be neighbors.
Yeah, there's a lot next to ours still open.
We have to look into that. Wait, I have a recent landlord story to tell real quick.
Please. Oh my god.
More. So
what? I tell some landlord stories.
All right, I'll save it for just personal talk.
Oh, you're not allowed to say it on the pod?
Perhaps not today.
Oh god, okay. That means it's a really good one. You can join our Patreon to hear that one.
No, it's not even that good. So, well, here we go. I am going to
this was the other night. I was grilling fish for my lovely fiance, who prepared it all by herself, and all I do is put it on the grill and wait for it to cook, and then I say that I grilled it. During this time, I'd gone for a bike ride prior, and I wanted to jump in the lake because I smelled like ass. And I jump in the lake, come back out, and oh yeah, there pops out. He's like, "Hey," I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" And he's drinking a beer, and I was like, "Ah, cheers." He's like, "Yeah, I saw you jump in the lake." And I was like, "Cool." And he's like, "Yeah, I was sitting naked in my bathroom getting ready to come out, and I was looking out the window and I watched you just take the plunge." And I was like, "Okay, I'll see you later."
Is there more context to that? Why would he say that?
Just out of the blue, just nothing. That was it. And he just walked off. And I was like, "Okay."
Just wanted to let you know, while you were jumping in the water, I was naked.
just funny things like that.
So did that stop him from taking? So he's like, whoa, I can't shower now. Brian's in the water. I got to crack a beer.
That's, you know, what it sounds like. No, well, he came out clean. So okay. Out of the house clean. So
how does it feel knowing that his entire time scrubbing his under area, he's thinking of you jumping in the water?
Well, that's also what I thought. So this is why, you know, the more thinking about the story, the odder it gets.
He's Mr. Miyagi in his butt, thinking about Brian's butt.
Miyagi-ing his butt.
You know, he's waxing on, waxing off.
Leonard, close your ears.
Well, Brian, my lunch break is about to end and I gotta hop back to work. How do you feel about this pod?
I feel good. I feel nice. This is a good pod. We discussed our attack on our website. Attack bikes, and congrats on the new house. Possible.
Yeah, again, I honestly I shouldn't even brought that up on a podcast, but like, I'm just so excited about it, so I wanted to talk about it. Hopefully it happens.
Cool. Very, very exciting. Also, next weekend, if you guys want to come up, green light.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, we have no plans, so we are all about it.
Cool. Feel free. Yeah, we'll talk later.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I was on the pod.
All right. Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Stay tuned for hopefully some new merch this week. Because we're not, and then I guess this is good context. I'm releasing what we're recording now next week. So if any weird dates or something don't make sense, that's why. So hopefully we'll have new merch by the time this is out. Anything else, Brian?
That's all I got. Right on, dudes. Dudettes.
Wait, no, you had a really good ending a couple weeks ago.
I did.
I guess it can live in that podcast and that podcast alone.
Party on.
Party on, guys. Bye.